I was so scared, was so freaked out that I lost about 40 pounds in 2 months. My wife and I were both convinced I was going to die. It was just a matter of time. So the fear is overwhelming. It was like this mental prison, this prison where you can't get away. You can't go in, out. There's no time of day and you're not sleeping. So it never ends. It's just this prison where you're just confined to yourself and your mind and your fears and your anxiety. And it's just, it never ends. Be patient. Your struggles are there to teach you. And just keep going, keep moving. Every single trial will teach you and guide you something. And you will always come out better on the other end. Daniel, the moment I started this program, I've never slept better in my life. Ever. Ever.
Hi, Brian, and welcome to another really special Talking Summit episode. We have Christian with us. Welcome.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here.
I've really looked forward to this because, I'll just share with the audience here that you, Christian, you remember our immunity program, and then you decided to become a coach yourself. So you're now in our coach certification program. And I've talked to you many times, and you've always shared so many nice analogies and stories. And I actually asked you, I was like, hey, you want to be a guest? And initially you were like, oh, maybe later we'll see. And then you're like, no, it's time. And so I was like, yeah, let's do this. Super excited. So with that said, let's start from the beginning. How did you start having trouble sleeping, Christian?
Well, I don't remember the exact date, but I remember the month. So it was August of 2022. I've been married for over 20 years. I have 3 kids, 2 girls and a boy. My oldest is Monica, and she turned 19. She decided to submit paperwork to go serve a mission. And when they go serve a mission, they're gone for 18 months. And you don't get to see them. I mean, you talk to them about an hour a week, and that's about it. And so I have just a very close relationship with my entire family, my wife, my kids. I mean, they're just heavenly, you know. It's perfect wife, tremendous kids. You know, whenever they talk about teenagers being troublemakers, none of my kids. I mean, it's wonderful. So the idea of not seeing my firstborn for 18 months drove me into an absolute panic. So I remember I started waking up at 2 or 3 in the morning and just frantic. I would just sit up and my heart would just be beating out of my chest. I was sweating sometimes and I was completely wired. And I had no idea what was going on. I didn't make the connection, you know? And so that kept happening day after day after day. And I thought, well, must be something medical. So I think most of us go the medical route first. So I met with my doctor and he said, let's do some blood work. Let's get the results and go from there. So I went home, waited, but I still kept having problems sleeping, right? And it went from getting up at 2 or 3 in the morning to maybe not sleeping at all. And so I thought, well, it's medical. So once we clear things up, I should be fine. So I remember getting the test results back and he said, your thyroid is low and you have some deficiencies with something. So we'll get these supplements. And once we balance your thyroid out, you'll be fine. But that definitely gave me some hope. But I still wasn't sleeping. And so he recommended some sleeping pills. I don't remember the medications, but they didn't last very long. They would last maybe a couple of days. But I didn't sleep very well either. I felt very groggy and just very anxious. And so, of course, like most of us do, once again, we go and start doing Google searches, right? And that, boy, that just opens up just a Pandora's box. So I remember one thing in particular was a snippet from a Joe Rogan podcast. A gentleman was saying that if we don't sleep at least 7 hours a night, we're prone to dementia, heart disease, cancer, and so forth. And for me, I have a pretty big history of my family having cancer. My mother and majority of my uncles have all died of cancer and heart disease as well in the family. And then on my father's side, there's some dementia. So these are all trigger words. It's like, oh no, I'm going to get all of it. And so then I bought an Apple Watch to track my sleep. Right. So now every morning, even if I slept 4 or 5 hours, it still wasn't 7 hours. So I still wasn't out of it. You know, I was still going to get sick. And so, of course, that increases our anxiety, our fear skyrockets. And then you're not sleeping. So now we're feeling absolutely exhausted, worn out, just so, so tired. So when I started taking the medication and things balanced off, and I had my levels up, I still wasn't sleeping. So I thought, okay, so what's the problem? So we kept trying stronger and stronger medications. I don't remember what we took, but at one point he said, you know, I'm going to give you one of the strongest things that I have. I don't remember the name, but I looked it up online and it was pretty much an anti-seizure medication. And I thought, I can't do this. This is just out of control. So I found a new doctor, a functional medicine doctor, and she was wonderful. Absolutely. She's just the sweetest. And she did one thing that I've never had a doctor do is we had an hour session. She did some blood work, but she spent a lot of time just talking to me because she just believes, she says, there's a reason why this is going on. She looked at my previous blood work. She goes, everything looks pretty normal, pretty, seem like you're pretty healthy. And she started asking me about my childhood. Well, it was kind of bizarre. So I told her a few things and she said, I believe that based on what you've told me, she goes, I'm not a specialist in this, but you have severe PTSD, not PTSD, but you have severe PTSD. It sounds like your home life was very unstable. There's a lot of chaos. And now you're telling me that your daughter leaving all of a sudden gives you all this panic. I think you need therapy. She said, I don't believe in talk therapy. So I would recommend something that's called EMDR. And so let's try EMDR because I've heard it work with a lot of people that have PTSD. So then we went that route. So I found a specialist in Dallas and she'd been doing it for a long time, highly recommended. She'd been training quite a few therapists in this field. And so I decided to not just do EMDR, but I decided to do intensive EMDR, which is between 5.5 to 6 hour sessions a day, twice a day for several weeks.
Wait, we'd say that again. How long are the sessions?
5.5 to 6.5 hours a day.
And you can do two a day?
Two a week.
Oh, two a week.
Two sessions a week, every week for I think it was about a month. So the problem with that is the first two sessions, you're just dumping all this trauma. So now we're bringing everything up to the surface and we're not fixing anything. We're not resolving anything. So there's lack of sleep, there's fear of getting all these diseases and all these medical issues, the separation anxiety of my daughter being gone, and then now all this trauma keeps being brought up over and over again. So I was just mentally exhausted. I was done. I just couldn't do it anymore. And so my functional medicine doctor said, let's put you on some medication for right now. Let's see if she can just get you to just calm down and get some sleep. I don't remember what she put me on, but it was a combination of like an anxiety medication and a sleep medication. And I started getting some sleep. 5, 6 hours, sometimes 7 hours. But again, it still wasn't enough. So I was getting some sleep, but it was never enough sleep. So I'm dealing with this therapy. And I felt terrible on top of it. I felt like a zombie. So there was no highs and lows. I think the best way to describe it was a zombie. I remember I felt so safe at that point. I thought, well, at least I'm sleeping something. But what was difficult was when I would hear my kids approach my wife and ask, what's wrong with dad? What's happening? Why is he like this? And I remember seeing, we went to the aquarium and we love going to the aquarium. It's so much fun. And we took some pictures and I saw the pictures and I'm just standing there gazing off to the side, just completely blank. I just looked dead. Oh, so it was really, really difficult. I got to the point where I wasn't sleeping at all at night, nothing, zero. And so I'd go for walks, 2-3 in the morning, just walk around the neighborhood, completely wired, completely wide awake and wired. And I just remember just thinking, just please make it stop. Please, please let it. And I never considered hurting myself or doing anything like that. But I just prayed on a fairly regular basis for it to end. And you think about how amazing my life is, right? I have an incredible wife. I have these three great kids. You know, my wife and I have our own business. Everything's great. A lot of flexibility. Everything is beautiful. Everything is wonderful. And you're to the point where you're just so lonely, so miserable, just feel so overwhelmed and sick. You just don't want to exist anymore. So I remember it was really about one night. It was about 3 in the morning. And I have two dogs. And one of them is literally always by my side. And it was one night. It was about 3 in the morning. I was like, okay, well, let's go for a walk. And the dog didn't want to go for a walk. He didn't want to get out of bed. And so then the loneliness just is overwhelming, you know, because it keeps going. It keeps going. It just keeps. And then there's no hope.
Sorry to interrupt, Christian, but
no.
Just time frame wise, like how far time wise are we into the story now? How long since?
I'll say about 7-8 months into it so far. And then the other thing too, I forgot to mention, there's so many things that are going on. I don't want to focus on too many little details, but when I think 2 months into it or something, I was so scared, was so freaked out that I lost about 40 pounds in 2 months. So I'm 5'11". I was weighing about 205. So I wasn't the thinnest guy, but I was down to 165.
Wow.
And my wife and I were both convinced I was going to die. It was just a matter of time. So the fear is overwhelming. You know, the loneliness is all consuming. What was so confusing to me and heartbreaking was, my wife and I own a small store, and I'm there 90% of the time. And as I started losing all this weight and feeling absolutely horrible, people would come and go, "Oh my goodness, you look fantastic. You look great. What are you doing? What'd you do?" And once in a while, some of the regulars, I would say, "You know, I'm dealing with insomnia." And they would say, "Man, I wish I could get insomnia. I would look amazing."
Wow.
So, I remember at that point, I was in the bathroom after I went for a walk. The dog didn't want to go with me. I mean, everybody was just, "We're done." You know, after a while, everybody just wears out, you know? And I thought, if I can ever figure this out, I have to help other people. Like, I don't ever want anybody to feel like this.
Yeah.
It was like this mental prison, this prison where you can't get away. You can't go in, out. There's no time of day, and you're not sleeping. So it never ends. It's just this prison where you're just confined to yourself and your mind and your fears and your anxiety. And it's just, it never ends. The heart palpitations, the buzzing in your head, the buzzing in your eyes, just it was awful, Daniel.
You're describing it very vividly. Like, I think, you know, everyone listening to this can really relate and feel how difficult it was. And you know, I had a question for you, which was the EMDR. You describe how the initial session is basically just talking about like these traumatic events and how that wasn't really helpful. I honestly don't know too much about EMDR, but there's some type. Is that some type of like eye? You do something with your eye movement, or is that something
you different? Can? You can. Is a pattern of you can either do like eye movements, which is pretty common, or they do these. They put these little like electrodes in your hands, and they buzz back and forth lightly. And the idea is to, I don't remember, it's kind of like reset your thought pattern, and you go deep into whatever the issue is, and you find that kind of like key log. And when you get right there, you start to rebuild and reframe everything in a positive way, in a positive attitude until you get at it.
And so, do you know if those, the buzzing, is that supposed to be like, is that generated from, by someone or from your own kind of bodily, like from your heart rate or something like that? Or?
They just turn it on. It's just something that kind of goes back and forth, just buzzes back and forth. And I think it's the idea to kind of stimulate your brain somehow and have it focus on that, or I don't remember.
Right. Yeah, totally. But no, thanks for sharing that. But you know, did you stay with that for a while, or did you abandon it quite quickly, or?
We had to pay for this program. It was, I don't know how many sessions it was, but I think we got to like session 8 out of 10. And I tell my wife, I can't go back. I can't do it anymore. I don't want to hear any more about my father, about my childhood. I can't. I don't want to face this anymore. I'm already dealing with this during the day. And then I have my own fears and concerns and worries at nights. Like, I'm withering away anyway. So if I'm going to die, let me just die peacefully.
Right. Wow. And now, you've taken us like 7 months in, you described it very, 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 very well and in a very powerful way. Now, this may still be in the future of your story, but one thing I didn't want to miss talking about was this South African coach. So I don't know if that's happening later or if that's already happened.
No, we're right about to. We're almost there. I decided. So a friend of mine, Jeremy, he young guy, early 40s, super healthy guy, works out all the time, eats very well, but had some kind of genetic heart issue. So he ended up having a couple of pretty major heart surgeries and started with insomnia himself. So he decided to go the CBTI route, and I decided to try this other sleep program. And he was a very good salesman, you know, talked about how many hours and hours of training he'd had compared to so many doctors in the medical field, how very little they knew about sleep. I thought, well, you know, he's worked with professional athletes around the world. And so I thought, well, you know, there's definitely credibility. Plus, I'm desperate. I'll try anything. So that, boy, that made things even worse. You know, when you think you can't go any lower, and then you do. I'll give you just a couple of points on his program. But his program was really focused on focusing pretty much the entire day on sleep. So from the moment you get up, you exercise, you eat it's a cup of oatmeal with a cup of fruit. Lunch is between 12 and 2. I don't eat past 6 p.m. No red meat because it shoots up your cortisol levels. No caffeine after 2 p.m. And then I don't know if you remember those circadian rhythm lights. Hit yourself in the face with that for at least an hour a day. Take 90-minute breaks and go outside for about 5 minutes and get natural light. And then my favorite was at night, if it's 2-3 in the morning and you're wired, either do a cold plunge or do an ice shower. And I did that a few times, and yeah, I was done. I couldn't do it anymore.
I remember you telling me that at some point, I think you called him like at 3 a.m. in the morning, which, you know, it was daytime in South Africa. So,
right. Uh-huh.
You know, and he would basically just tell you, well, you just need to reset, reset. You know, take a cold shower or an ice shower. Right. Wow. For anyone listening, like, you know, sleep is a passive, effortless process. And this is kind of the complete opposite, right? It's just focusing even more on this, trying even harder and harder. And so I can see how that was very tricky. So yeah, I just didn't want to miss out on that part, but yet, just take us further. You're doing such a great job telling us the story.
So then, like I told you, a friend of mine, Jeremy started doing CBTI, and it worked very quickly for him. Fortunately, I had a buddy that I could talk to where we could share stories, because nobody else understood, right? Our wives, his wife, absolutely wonderful people, but you just can't relate. You cannot relate. And, you know, we would joke around almost daily. It would say, again, neither one of us would ever harm ourselves, but we made it so it's like, if there was a button that we could push and we were just gone, how many times would you have pushed it today? You know, oh, like five times. Oh, like at least a dozen. Oh, I remember 2-3 in the morning, I would have pushed it like four times. Like we were constantly, you know. And then he as he was driving, he's like, I pray that a truck just comes and just hits me. And he goes, there's got to be a truck, because he felt guilty if he hurt somebody else, right? So we start overthinking about these things. You know, I hope I fall into a ditch and it's instant. Like you're just done. You know, if this is my life, I can't keep going. And so after a few months, he started getting better. And he's like, you know, I'm only having a bad day once a week. And then it was once or twice a month. And then it's like, I don't have any problems. I'm doing great. And then he said, you know, my testosterone levels were low. Once those levels came back up, I've never slept better in my life. And so I was like, well, I'll do CBTI because it works. Now I have proof. A friend of mine went through it. I'm in. And as soon as I started CBTI, it didn't make any sense to me. It didn't at all. It was supposed to be your sleep windows between 11 and 5. Okay. But then after 20 or 30 minutes, if you can't fall asleep, get out of bed. But part of the sleep window is you don't look at the time. So how are you going to know? So now you're monitoring. Am I falling asleep? Am I tired? Am I sleeping? Should I need, how long has it been? Right? The exact opposite of what you're supposed to be doing. And then if you get out of bed, then take about 20 or 30 minutes, watch a show or something and go back to bed. And if that doesn't work after 20 or 30 minutes, like they're out of bed. And then there's a report. How fast before you fell asleep? How does anybody know this, right? How many times did you wake up? How long were you awake for? Estimate. It's just all this information while not looking at the clock.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. Like it's so bizarre in a way. Like you tell people like, don't look at the clock, but then estimate. And then you're going to base how do you move forward on those estimates that you know are completely unreliable.
Yeah, I don't know. So now I lost my buddy, right? Because he doesn't have any problems anymore, right? So we can't joke around. I can't call him. And as much as I love the guy, great guy, and was super happy for him, we couldn't connect anymore. And I felt like an even bigger failure, right? So I tried one sleep program. It didn't work. I tried CBTI, which worked for him. And it's known in the industry to be, this is what people do. And I failed at that too. Right. So we're still with this, all this EMDR, all this depression, all this, you know, self-doubt. And it's like, man, I can't even do CBTI right. What is wrong with me? You know, it was the worst year of my life, man. It was, you know, I've had my family members that I adore pass away. I've had all these other things happen. This was literally the most crushing time of my life. It was unbearably lonesome. And there's just something wrong with me. I don't know how to fix it. As I was watching all these CBTI videos, there I don't remember if it was his program interviewing you, or I found your video interviewing him. But I started listening to it, and I thought, this is a very different attitude, different approach, a much kinder approach, a much more gentle approach. And I thought, well, I'll give it a shot. I'll try it. And you talked about bedtime, that app. So I downloaded the app and I started listening to it. And of course, I wanted to read everything I could. I wanted everything, all the information right away, right now. But there's a reason why it delivers information slowly. It helps you slow down. And so I started sleeping a little better. And so then I joined your immunity program. And I was only able to show up to a couple of the drop-in classes. And Chris was my coach. Chris is amazing. The guy is absolutely incredible. And every time I got a chance to get on the call and speak with him briefly, it's beautiful, right? Because you're going to have very specific questions. And then oftentimes you want an example, right? Because you're so hypervigilant. You know, okay, I understand what you said, but give me an example. Tell me exactly what you did right now so I can replicate it. And so he was great. He always gave me pearls. Just absolute pearls of wisdom, and they worked. And so what's wonderful too about your program is there's all these great videos of information. There's the calls, which are absolutely priceless, right? The opportunity you have to talk one-on-one with somebody is, again, priceless. And then we also got a copy of your book, Set It and Forget It. And as I read that, I go, this is the greatest book ever written. only second to the Bible, right? So this is the greatest book ever. So I remember as I was reading, I was like, this has nothing to do with any of these things that I've been listening for a year. This is about fear. This is about, you know, befriending wakefulness and all these other things like that. So I thought, this is incredible. And so I started sleeping really well, like really, really well. And so I thought, I think I'm cured, right? I'm an illness. I'm cured from this illness. And so I jumped out of the program. I'm fine. And so I was good for, I don't know, maybe a month or so. And then I started having speed bumps. And by then I wasn't familiar enough with speed bumps to understand what was going on. So then I was like, oh no, it's back. It's back. Oh no, what do I do? And then went down the rabbit hole again, right? So this is so embarrassing. I'm only sharing these things with you, not in the hopes of doing anything else than helping other people understand how desperate you get. It's how absolutely desperate you get. So my wife and I are pretty conservative family, you know, and we heard from somebody, our story, we get to meet so many people, and we heard from somebody's like, you know, we've done journeys and we go meet with a shaman and we have this magical experience and this helps us with our trauma, with our PTSD and with this. And I started sleeping better, right? Let's call a shaman, you know, let's go on a journey. So we did that. And I didn't sleep very well that night or the night after that. Or
what does that look like, by the way? Are you out camping or something like that, or in the wilderness, or not really?
I'll keep it a little vague. We got in a plane. It was out of state. It was a residence. And this was really scary for us. Like, we were super scared. We didn't know what to do. And so we didn't want to do it with a group because we wanted to just keep it very private. So we paid for a very exclusive, just one-on-one, me, my wife, and the shaman. And so this is so embarrassing. And so, so we did that for the weekend. And, again, it was really great for sharing things and talking about trauma and everything else, but sure didn't help with sleep, you know, at all. And so then I thought, well, what about hypnosis? So we hired this hypnotist, and that obviously didn't help, right? So then I thought, okay, I'm really running out of ideas, you know. So I was still having some really good days or weeks, but I'd have these speed bumps that would come along the way. And so then, I don't know why, you know, the mind just comes up with the craziest things. So I remember years ago, I was watching this show, and this show was something like How to Conquer Your Fears. And I was like, oh, this is fascinating. I'm in, right? So I remember this guy in particular was afraid of sharks. And he was going to go on vacation with his family or something, maybe some tropical island. And he was so afraid of sharks, he didn't even want to put his feet in the water. And so he goes on the show. And so, again, I remember the whole episode, but the next scene I remember is this poor guy in a wetsuit standing on a boat. And like a fishing boat, and right next to him are these guys chopping up fish and chum and throwing all this stuff overboard, right? Then there's this aerial view, and you see this little boat and all these gigantic sharks, you know, circling the boat. Then you see this cage being lowered into the water, and then they drop this poor guy in the cage, right? These sharks are just swimming all over. And I was like, there's no magic to facing your fears. There is no secret. There's no pill. There's no meditation. There's just facing your fears. That's it. And so I don't know if it was the same day or the next day. And I don't know why that show ended, right? This is an awesome show, right? Maybe some legal issues or something, but it was such a great show. So I remember I was watching one of your videos, and I think, if I remember correctly, it's like at the end of one of your videos, you mentioned something like, hey, we're offering coaching sleep coaching. There's a couple of spots available. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is my shark moment. This is my get in the cage and face my demons, you know? Since insomnia is all about fear, what better way to do this? And so I remember contacting you, and I was pretty aggressive about it. Like, I wanted to start now. And I remember we had like a brief little one-on-one over Zoom. And this didn't even make any sense. I said, before you push send, I'm going to push reply. I'm in. Let's start right now. Because it did two things for me, right? One, coaching would teach you everything you need to help others. So best way to learn everything is to learn it so you can teach others, right? Number one. Number two, I never forgot that promise I made. Is if I can figure out a way to help people, I'm in. I'm in. And so that's how. So when I came back, I didn't come in as a student. I came back as a coach. And it's been life-changing, because we've talked about this, that these principles being taught are not about sleeping. They're overall life-changing principles. And so I think I mentioned this to you before. I said, you know, Jeremy, a buddy of mine who recovered from insomnia very quickly, that's wonderful. But my journey, even though it was a bit more of a struggle, I feel like I got a huge return on my insomnia. I feel like it was with the greatest curse, and then this most incredible blessing came from that. So I'm not sleeping like I was before. I'm living better than I ever have. And so what's interesting is I remember I talked to one of the coaches, or a couple of them, and I asked him, I said, you know, what's it like if you're, you know, starting this coaching program? Doesn't it freak you out? Do you have a hard time sleeping? Do any of that stuff? And once in a while they go, yeah, you know, maybe for a day or so, a little bit of a struggle, a little bit of an anxiety. Daniel, the moment I started this program, I've never slept better in my life, ever. Because so much of my energy and attention is focused on reading. The material is incredible, right? And I don't like to rush through it. I really just take my time. And as I'm trying to figure out how to pass this along to others, I'm gaining all that information. And so instead of my attention being on, how do I make myself better? Like, how do I help other people? And I think it's retaining much better, and I'm absorbing things a lot better. And I'm applying a lot of these principles throughout my day. They have nothing to do with sleep. And so it's been an answer to prayers, man. It's been the greatest gift ever. And what's so beautiful about this is my daughter, who's been on a mission, is coming home in a couple of weeks. And so it's been a full circle since this started. And I am just forever grateful to you, man. Thank you.
Oh, thanks so much. And, you know, I'm so glad you found us and that you're here, and, you know, you're, you know, part of the movement now, helping other people. And I wanted to ask you a few things. One was, you know, when you started, like, you know, you found bedtime and then you joined the immunity program, you know, I'm guessing that you started to see kind of what insomnia really is about. And do you remember any part where you're like, aha, now I understand what I've been going through, and it's this? Like, when did you start kind of understanding, if you will?
So, you know, some of the, I don't want to completely criticize EMDR. There were some definite benefits that I learned from it. Those I probably would have just not done the intensive EMDR, but what I realize is whenever we have a lot of trauma and don't feel like we have any control, and there's just a lot of chaos in our life, right? The first thing we want to do is control. Let's have some control. I mean, my house, we live in a, you know, nice neighborhood. There's cameras that surround the perimeter of the house, an alarm. We have dogs. We have a lot of things to protect us, right? To make us feel safe. And so I was a bit of a control freak. So when you talked about going timeless, I couldn't do it, because that would mean I had to let go of control. I had to know what time it was. Did I sleep an hour? Did I this? Did I? And so it was all about control. And the moment, it took me months, not weeks. It took me months to try it, right? Months. At one point, I thought, oh, you know, I haven't slept very well. So what's another night? Who cares? Well, let's just try it. But it took me months. And so when I let go, I slept beautifully that night. So that was number one. And then number two, kind of along the same lines, around the same time, was natto, not attached to the outcome, right? That's another thing of letting go. So if I don't look at the time, my brain has no ability to add the number of hours or whatever's going on at night. And if you wake up in the morning and you're not attached to the outcome, how can you have feelings or emotions about it? So those two things were so much about letting go of control, that it just opened things up for me. Not, again, not just for sleep, but for so many things in my life.
Yeah. And which I want to come back to that one. But okay, so in my mind, it's kind of like the eye opener was seeing that the attempt to control something we can't control actually is to struggle, you know, and that's a really big one. And the other thing I want to ask you was this, like you had joined the Immune program, you've seen things getting easier. Now, sometimes what people do is that closing the hood thing where, like, you know, things are getting easier. I think I'm good. I think I'm cured. I'm not going to do anything more. Close the hood, like, hope for the best. Bye-bye. Was it a little bit along those lines that you left pretty early or not really?
No, not a little bit. Exactly bit. It was exactly it. You know, I'm sleeping fine. Let's leave it alone. Let's go. Let's run. This is why the training was so important, because as a student, I was just, let's get enough information and let's get out of here. You know, let's eat and run. And with the training, it's like you gotta literally remove the hood and stare at it nonstop. And you know, so for sure, this is why the first time I was like, I'm doing great. Let's not mess anything up. Let's just get out of here. You know, still a tremendous amount of control.
Yeah. So, I think we covered that. So let's just go to this question, which is, you know, you mentioned several times actually how helpful the teachings have been, like, outside of sleep. And now it truly is about, like, life in general, right? All the principles applied to life in general. But can you give some examples of that?
Sure. Let me give you a couple here. So one of the things I started doing was, since there's no control in my day, first thing I do when I wake up in the morning and I get on my knees and I'm grateful for today. I'm just grateful for the day. I have this entire day to do whatever I want. And so I never think about or pray about sleep or how I slept or what, that doesn't exist. It's time to get up, alarm goes off. What are we going to do today? And it's the small things that are beautiful, right? My son is 16. So he still has a couple of years left in school. And so I'm the one that gets him up in the morning and I'm the one that takes him to school. And that's my one-on-one time with him. That's beautiful. So there's several things that I think about the day that make it wonderful. And then at night, right before I go to bed, I think about sleep or anything like that. Doesn't matter anymore. I get on my knees and I'm grateful for all the experiences I had throughout the day. And so it's focusing on the things that I have, not controlling, nothing else, just gratitude for the day. When before, to me, the day and the night was just a nightmare. And so just that gratitude was really big. The other part was anxiety. Right? You deal with depression, you're always going to have anxiety. As we talked about this, anxiety or the emotions are messages. And so if you avoid those messages, they're going to keep coming. And so you're just anxious all the time because you're not listening. So now if something happens, I don't know, whatever it is, like, I don't know, I don't always want to refer to my kids, but I'll say my kids do something and I start getting anxious or worried. And I go, let's think about this. What's the message? What's going on? What's the root of this message? Well, the root of this message is you're afraid that they're going to fail at something. Okay, well, what's the problem with that? That's how we learn. Okay, well, then is it really a problem? No, not really. Let's just make sure we're there to catch them if they fall, but maybe not, right? Depending. And so little things like that throughout the day that would cause me anxiety, I just think about it and I kind of process those thoughts. And I just don't have that anxiety that much. Yeah. And then there's one, yeah, I was so excited about this, right? There's nothing better than when you teach your wife or your kids something and then they start applying those principles, right? Coolest thing in the world. So I remember my wife was at a church activity. This was maybe like, I don't know, a week ago or something. And we had talked about not attached to the outcome, right? NATO. And so she was talking to this woman that was having a very difficult time. And she was in her early 40s, beautiful woman, great job. She was struggling because she wasn't married and didn't have kids yet. She was really sad. And so my wife says, you are too attached to the outcome. You're too attached to your outcome. You need to enjoy your life and live your life and things, and just think about all the things that it brings you and enjoy that and find joy. Because right now, all this focus is bringing you all this negative energy. And I think people are feeling it. And I'm telling you, man, this woman just lit up. She goes, you're right. I'm too attached to the outcome. So my wife, you know, when I met with her again in the car, she's like, guess what? I taught people NATO. And I'm like,
that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. She's incredible. So I don't know. I can go on. So.
Oh, that was a fantastic, amazing examples. And, you know, last question for you is if you could, you know, go back and travel back in time to the time where this started really affecting you and you had a rough time, and you could tell yourself something, what would you pick? What would you tell yourself?
Man. Be patient. Your struggles are there to teach you. And yeah, and just keep going, keep moving. And every single trial will teach you and guide you something, and you will always come out better on the other end.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love it. That's a perfect place to stop. I say, Christian, so nice we connected. So nice you're part of the movement now. And that things are going so much easier for you. And most of all, for today, thanks for sharing this with the community so everyone can learn from you.
Daniel, I am forever grateful to you and your program. God bless you, man. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
That was all for today. I hope you found this episode really eye-opening. And if you're looking for something more tangible, then head over to our website, thesleepcoachschool.com. You'll find several coaching options where our teachings can be contextualized for you personally. If you decide to join, we look forward to seeing you on the other side.